The Gospel according to Luke at chapter 10 at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Now, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The man who was assaulted on the road to Jericho is just a man. Jesus tells us who didn't help him and who did, but he doesn't tell us anything about the victim. A priest and a Levite were too important to stop and help, or else they were afraid of becoming unclean, or else they were too scared, or else they were stressed out from having to be pious all the time. But Jesus identifies the priest and the Levite, and then he identifies the merciful one as a Samaritan, a man the average Jew would have despised as a sectarian. Jews didn't like Samaritans. And so when Jesus makes a Samaritan the good neighbor, he is making one of his favorite points. God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care about your pedigree. God cares about godliness, and God finds godliness in some pretty unusual places. An impoverished widow, a tiny tax collector like Zacchaeus, even a Roman oppressor like the centurion in Luke 7, whose faith amazed Jesus. In his story, Jesus tells us who passed by and he tells us who stopped, but he doesn't tell us about the victim. Who is this person the Samaritan stops to help? Well, in the story, he's just a man. He's a human being. The compassionate Samaritan doesn't know whether he's helping a rich man or a poor man. He doesn't know whether this is a political conservative or a political progressive. Is this maybe a man whose influence is going to help the good Samaritan climb the corporate ladder when everything is returned to normal? Don't know. Is this victim a drunk who stopped at a bar and asked the wrong guys a wrong question? Can't tell. Was this victim for the American war in Iraq or against it? No clue. The victim is half dead and he's not talking. He's got no money, no ID, no story. You can't even tell who he is from his clothes because his clothes are gone. Jesus tells us that a good Samaritan stopped to help a man, a human being. The Samaritan traveler saw trouble and he didn't look at his watch to figure out how long it was going to cost him to look to care for the trouble. He looked after a man he didn't know anything about. He cleaned the stranger's wounds and bandaged them. He transported the stranger, paid for him. He nursed the stranger, looked after him, even promised to come back, look after him when he was done with his trip. To borrow a point of Henri Nouwen, the priest and the Levite thought that the victim was an interruption to their ministry. But the Samaritan looked at this wounded man and said, "That man is my ministry." Jesus' story in Luke's gospel is an excellent one for us to read in a Reformed seminary. Because, of course, the Reformation reminds us that justification is by grace alone. God's grace alone can put us in the right. And now here's a lawyer who needs the Reformation. This is a man who's out there trying to justify himself, trying to do God's work for him. And according to Jesus, what this lawyer really wants is a debate. He wants to talk about justification. But Jesus won't debate. Jesus just tells a story about a man who acted like a neighbor. A lawyer wanted to justify himself by raising questions and blowing smoke so that he might end up never knowing who he had to love. Jesus tells of a man who got off his donkey, went to the side of the road, and had mercy on a stranger. I think what we have to see is that Jesus is not necessarily out to praise Samaritans for their kindness. He's out to prick the lawyer for his pride. It's the lawyer's self-justification that Jesus is going after. The lawyer is a proud lawyer. He's like the Pharisee of Luke 18 who cuts quite a figure in the temple as he stands in the center and prays to himself. The lawyer of Luke 10 asks Jesus about eternal life, and Jesus gets him to recite the recipe himself. Love the Lord your God above all. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's Deuteronomy. That's Leviticus. And the lawyer would have known those lines by heart. He thinks he's got to justify himself according to both commands, both ways. Maybe he thinks he can justify himself according to the great command by his ritual purities and his ritual pieties, show how much he loves God. It's that other commandment that's so troublesome, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is a lawyer who maybe doesn't want so much to love his neighbor as himself. He wants to talk about his neighbor. Who is my neighbor? So much easier to talk about our neighbors than to help them. And the lawyer is a professional talker. Love my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? The lawyer wants to keep the question fuzzy. Keep it fuzzy long enough, and maybe you won't have to love very many people. My neighbor is other lawyers, okay. Maybe it's Jews in general, perhaps. Surely not the occupying Romans. And what about the sectarians? And on and on and on. Love my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? The lawyer wants a debate. It reminds me of a man who went to heaven and met St. Peter and noticed two doors and said to Peter, "What's behind that door?" Peter said, "That door leads to eternal life." And the man said, "Well, how about the other door?" "That door leads to a discussion of eternal life." Love my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Once more, Jesus forces the answer out of the mouth of the lawyer himself. Jesus is wise as a serpent, and so he gets the lawyer to say who his labor is. He sticks him with the point of the story. Which of these three proved to be a neighbor? Who acted like a neighbor? And now the lawyer has to confess that in the story, the neighbor is the despicable Samaritan. He can't quite get his mouth to form the word Samaritan, so he says simply, "The one who showed mercy." The Samaritan is the neighbor in the story, not the traveler, and the lawyer has to say so to humble this person, to give him his own Reformation Day. Jesus gets him to say, in effect, that his neighbor is a nutty sectarian who worships in altogether the wrong way. Makes you think, doesn't it? Our neighbor may be a person we want so much to despise. People who worship the wrong way, people with the wrong politics, people with the wrong economics, people who take a different position on the war in Iraq. It's so humbling, deeply humbling, awfully humbling, wonderfully humbling to start looking at people we used to despise, to start looking at them in the friendly, interested way that a neighbor would look at them. Who do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise."